here.
The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
That's right. It is the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. We're talking footy the way you talk footy. It's a massive grand final edition. The Cats are finally in the grand final after a million tries at it. My name's Rudy Etzel. I've got a very sad Will Ralston joining us. Brisbane fan, of course. Yeah.
Pretty glum.
Sorry, Will.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I knew going in, ever since we made the finals, ever since the grand final at the Gabba was announced, it was like a really bittersweet sort of season. And it was nice seeing your team do well. And then obviously I wanted them to win with all of my might, and I was devastated after it. But then when it came down to it, if we won a flag and I couldn't be there in my home city as well, like surrounded by friends and family, it would have been very, very disappointing for me. So there's a sense of relief. But the Lions were really disappointing. I'm quite shocked that we delivered such a strange performance, particularly out of the middle. But there's something about Geelong. They get the better of us in that centre square. But it was a good year. I'm okay. And go Cats this weekend.
We'll talk in depth a little bit more about the prelim in a bit. But I'm also joined by Tommy Beers. How are you doing, Beersy?
G'day, gents. Good to be back. And Will, just remember, mate, don't worry about it. Asterix year. Last week. It's just no one wants to win it this year. I'm happy to just to kind of be eliminated.
Yeah, do they have a trophy this year? Is it the same?
Nah. I think it was the AFLX trophy because the actual trophy is still in Melbourne.
It's just in the shape of a big asterisk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the big X.
Big asterisk.
Yeah. Rudy's not getting a lot of laugh.
Yeah. Sounds like the chat of a couple of blokes whose teams did not make the grand final to me.
So we're calling it a grand final? All. Like that's all the same?
Let's kick off with our
That's shit chat, by the way. Like, I hope everyone's aware we're parodying shit chat.
Such a horror take, the asterisk take.
But the other thing is, like, I'd be, you know, you'd be running it if your team didn't make it grinding. If you're a Collingwood fan, for example, you're like, it's fine. Yeah. Let them have their little 2020 flag.
It only works when you've got a mate whose team is still alive. If none of our teams were still in it, it's just a cry. Bad regardless. But
part of me was a little bit worried when the Saints looked like they were getting on a roll. It was like, if they win their second flag and it's this one, it's going to feel like, oh, did we though?
I think every single Saints fan would probably take it, to be honest. We'll kick off with our Legends of the Week. Beersy, who have you got?
Well, I'm actually going to I'm going to cut a bit of Will's lunch here and steal Lachie Neal before he gets a chance, because he's nominated Lachie Neal about 15 times this year. So, Lachie Neal, first of all, for his performance in the prelim final, he was a one-man band in that midfield, two goals and 25 touches, and he hardly touched it in the first quarter. So, first of all, for that, but then secondly, for absolutely braining him in the Brownlow medal count. 10-vote win, exceptional season. He's my legend of the week.
Yeah.
10 best ons.
Yeah, there we go. Jinx.
crazy.
It's nuts. And then if you extrapolate it out, I think it was 1.82 votes a game he was getting. It ends up being 40 after a 22-game season, which is... I remember Dusty. What was Dusty's record? 36-7?
36, I think he got in 2017.
Yeah. And that was like unthinkable at the time. So
yeah.
But yeah, it was, his performances were so good that even his like real average ones were getting three voters. Like the umpires just started going, he's got it. We'll just give him another three. But yeah, he deserved it.
There's a bit of chat to be had. I think he got 20 more votes than Tom Hawkins, and I'm not sure he had a 20 more vote good season, but yeah, whatever. That's the Brownlow medal for you. Yeah. With your nomination nicked there, Will, what's your actual nomination this week?
Given last week I nominated Tom Lynch just for being one of the better blokes in footy, my nomination is for the Port fan that threw the Bundy over it. No, it's for... it's the Port fan and his son. I think the dad is the real hero in the story. The kid was kind of just rolling with the punches. He was a bit beside himself after they'd just lost a prelim, and wanted to congratulate Tom Lynch on winning the game, because the Port fans were giving him bit of stick, which was not on. And I think that guy's got his membership ripped up now. The guy who threw the bunny. And so he should. That's not on.
It's ridiculous behavior, that. Like, you're an adult.
Yeah. But great parenting from that guy. He just said, no, that's not how we do it. You got to lose well. And taught his son a good lesson.
The story went that the son was a bit distraught about how the fans had been treating Lynch, and then the Bundy throw was the last straw. So his dad took him down. I quite like that the dad's gone on the Channel 7 News the next night, and he's wearing the the lace-up prison bars Port Adelaide jersey. That's that's spot on. Huge fan of that. All right, and now it's my turn for Legend of the Week, and I don't think it's going to shock anyone. Find out that it's Gary Ablett. He plays his 357th and last game this week. He was enormous on Saturday night. That goal he kicked on the run from 55 was ridiculous. It was vintage Gaz. Like, when he got out, he got the step away from the trailing Brisbane midfielders, you knew he was dunking that.
Oh, it was 2009 Gaz. It actually it brought a smile to my glum face. But is there a better story in a grand final that we've seen in the last 5 years? I mean, Marlon Pickett's a pretty good story,
Marlon's a good story as well. But there's something about Gaz.
Yeah,
yeah. He's just he's the best I've seen play. Full stop. Yeah. Like, and I'm old enough to have seen a fair bit of his dad, and he just then the amount that he's put up with as well. Like, I mean, it's obviously people aren't going to be super sympathetic to a guy who's made millions off footy, but he's had a weird upbringing, it's fair to say, as Gary Ablett, and then his son's illness, what happened with his sister before he came back to Geelong. He's done a lot of things the hard way, Gaz, and he's just like, the way I think about him is like, you know those Twitter jokes that are like juxtaposing? It's like, if I were if I were an AFL list manager, I would simply just go and get all the best players.
Yeah.
Like, that's how Gary Ablett played footy. He was just I'll just simply like take the ball out of the stoppage and kick the goal. I'll just simply run away and you know, it's like take a couple of bounces and kick the goal. He was just like, I just want to do this, so I'll do it. He's like ridiculously good player.
And he's a very likable figure too, Gary.
He is.
So nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this would be a fitting way to go out in his career. Like, it's just a cherry on top, really. 360 odd games, Brownlows, premierships, all Australians, MVPs, whatever. Like, for his last game to win a flag would just be very fitting.
Cherry on top.
He could play 400 easy. And we could do a whole Gary Ablett cast about him and how I'm flat he never won 4 Brownlows and blah 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 blah. But but we won't. We've got we sort of touched on the prelim a little bit, Will. Tough night for you guys. I didn't want to patronize you that evening about, you know, like a great season for Brisbane and all that kind of stuff.
There's nothing worse. Yeah. There is nothing worse.
I go on the front foot.
He sent me a nice message saying, well done through to the granny. And I was like, yeah, thanks. I'm not going to, like I said, not going to condescend to you with anything. But it was just, like you said, it was a bit of a weird one from Brisbane, but Geelong just really didn't take their foot off the throat all night. I thought the Cats were in trouble at halftime. That long Cam Rayner goal, or not Cam Rayner, Lockie Neal goal from like 65.
Yeah.
And we missed chance after chance, and there was a goal in it at halftime, and I thought, oh, here we go. Like, that age-old final story of not being able to put chances away. And then, just didn't really give Brisbane a sniff. I just expected there was a comeback coming, and then it never came.
That was what, at halftime, I remember just being like, if we had the opportunity to trade spots with Geelong here, I'm pretty comfortable. We're within two goals. They've had all the chances in the world. They've done all the attacking. And I felt like we're going to click at some point. We always do. And we have this year. Even when we've been playing poorly, we find a 10-minute window and a quarter that gets us back in it or gets us in front. And it's just, a really hardened finals mature side. You just made us look like kids again. And it made me realize, like, shit, we had 8-22 or under playing that night. So I forget how young our team is at times. But, hey, we finished in the top two again. We won a final this time. We got prelims under the belts of a lot of our kids. I can't really whinge because I don't think we would have beaten Richmond this week anyway. So
when did you write the game off?
Not until early in the last. I saw it ended up being 40 points, so the margin sort of got away with me. But
flattered us a fair bit.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he could have buried us a lot earlier. We should have been down by four goals at halftime minimum.
Kicked the first goal of the fourth quarter of the Cats, and I was like, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, actually.
Then Brisbane kicked one, and then Zach Tui kicked that goal, that was when it was absolutely over.
I remember Ryan Lester missed a sitter in the last. That's probably my last memory of it. Then I disengaged.
The Eric Hipwood miss was
killed us too. That was in the third.
Yeah, that's like a real momentum sort of shifter, that one. Yeah. And it was kind of like, you know, you're getting Joe Danaher, but then how many times do you see Joe Danaher miss that exact shot?
But if they have 14 shots between them, we're bound to get four goals.
I loved it. I did love Fags after the game where they're like, oh, how are you going to get better next year? And he's like, well, probably just get Joe Danaher.
Jeez, I love Fags.
Yeah, he's a quality operator. It was a different night for me. I was pretty thrilled after that. I didn't really, looked a 50-50 to me going in, and then, like I said, we were clearly the better side for most of it, but it doesn't always mean winning the game in finals. But, we're through now, and boy, oh boy, is the tension ramping up for me this week. I'll tell you what.
I saw someone, I think it might have been on Reddit, that just said, unpopular opinion, Richmond Geelong is the best grand final this year. And I tend to agree. I think that is the highest standard of footy we'll see come the last game of the year. What do you guys reckon?
They're the two best teams. And this has been coming for a few years.
Yeah.
Like, you know how like Geelong and Hawthorn had that rivalry kicked off in 2008 and then never played another grand final again. And it always felt like, oh, we'll get that grand final. Never did.
Yeah.
This is the opposite, where Richmond and Geelong, it feels like this grand final's been coming.
Oh, how many minor premierships have Geelong had in the last?
Only the one, but they just haven't been able to get. I think they've played a couple. It's like 2017 played Richmond, and then 2019 played Richmond, and then
it's been
like gradually. It's like a qualifying final, then a prelim, and makes sense. This feels like the best two teams over the last few years. Yeah, agreed. Richmond never.
Even this year, like these are the two teams that have dominated the majority of this year. Like Geelong, for a period there, looked unstoppable, and it looked like at one point of the year they'd almost peaked too early. But they were unstoppable for that period of time. Like when they beat Port by about 10 goals and Hawkins kicked six or seven, whatever it was. It was like, how can anyone beat this mob? But and then Richmond kind of hit their straps later in the year when they got everyone back. So it's probably fitting that these two teams make it and deserve to make it, really.
Richmond looked like they'd deleted us in round 17. Like they looked like they'd really just put the Cats to bed. So it'll be an interesting granny for sure. And I feel like neutrals will be Cats fans. And what will really have bumped that along is like it sounds like they're going to announce the acquisition of Jeremy Cameron. And, you know, that's something you love to see. It's just, you know, a real feel-good, small town underdog story.
Don't you love it?
The Cats in a grand final and getting Jeremy Cameron in the same week.
Yeah.
I don't understand, even as a Geelong fan, I don't understand how they keep doing this.
How is that, like, I'd love to just see, wouldn't you just love to see the books, just the salary caps written out in front of you? Just like, North Melbourne's current side is paid 95% of the entire salary cap. It's worth as much as Geelong's. Yet Geelong can sneak in Jeremy Cameron, the best forward in the comp, arguably outside of Hawkins.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me sick. How does this happen?
It's so weird.
But Danger made sense when they got Danger because he's a Surf Coast boy. But Jeremy Cameron's from Mount Gambier, only
6 hours away.
His parents drive the camper van from Mount Gambier. They're mobile, quote Tom Brown. They're a mobile family.
Good times. Let's move off the Cats for a bit. Although I don't want to. The Brownlow, we mentioned Lachie Neale. There's always good Brownlow moments every year. A bit fewer this year because of the COVID stuff, but it's still quite a lot of fun being had. I did enjoy the Brisbane table. It was heaps of fun.
Yeah.
I think my favourite of all the moments of the night, though, was hearing Gil McLachlan having to read out Derek Egmalis Lessie Smith.
I missed that.
He got two votes against, I think, North Melbourne. And it was just like, it just sounded so weird amongst all the other votes of the night. You know, so many Al Neals and P. Dangerfields. And then all of a sudden, D. Ignalesi
Smith. What was with Gill's towards the end? I think it was the last round of the year when Jack Gunston got votes. And he mentioned his parents. Were they like in the room or something?
Well, Ray Gunston.
Ray works for the AFL.
Yeah.
Oh, does he?
Someone so there'd be a link there.
There you go. But I'm sure there are many, like, over the journey, there have been Brownlow vote getters whose parents have been connected to the AFL that haven't got a name check on Brownlow night. Yeah. Oh, this is so out of the blue.
I also quite like, I like listen to their, like, the affectations when they say stuff. And Gil cannot, he really struggles with GWS. He can't say it quickly.
The team.
GWS. Yeah, yeah. He just said GWS, Al Whitfield, GWS.
GWS.
It's just a bit of a throwback to the Andrew Demetrio days where there was just some names the poor fella couldn't say.
Nahas. That was always always a highlight.
That was the classic.
It was a classic. What was your favorite moment of the night? There must have been something
I remember when Bashar Hooley got awarded the Jim Steins Community Award, I think it's called, and it was just like a classic Zoom mix up where Jackie Felgate started talking. And then the room was loud, and then the audio mustn't have turned on, and then he's just standing there. He didn't hear the question. He just goes, "Do I talk?"
Yeah.
It's like just being in a meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, could you still mute your mics?
Yeah. I thought Seven did a pretty good job, though, overall. It was an entertaining broadcast.
It was relatively smooth, considering. When you got a broadcast from a kind of socially distant environment in – four different states, it's staggering that they actually kind of pulled off a relatively high quality production.
Something watchable.
I think the one thing they probably buggered up is that they made Neil present his own medal. That was weird. Like you've got all these people.
Simon
in the room.
Black
like,
was
you've got,
there.
Yeah, you've got Simon Black there. You've got like even Fags was in the room, you know, his coach.
Yeah.
Like so they're allowed like obviously, the people in that room are already there. Like, let him have his moment. Don't let him pick up his own medal and put it on. That was a bit of it.
Was Paddy Dangerfield in the room?
Nah. I don't know. No, they're on the Gold Coast.
He would have been in the Gold Coast.
There must have been a former Brownlow winner.
Simon Black was definitely there.
Yeah. Even just
Danger's suit made him look even more pale. Like, he's a very pale guy.
Yeah.
He's an Irish-looking guy, but that... boy, oh boy.
Yeah,
I did also enjoy Heath Shaw.
That was unlike Danger wanting a bit more attention. I thought that was a bit off-brand.
you leave Danger alone. this is a Danger-friendly space in this week. I did enjoy Heath Shaw enjoying his last Brownlow as well, getting on camera wherever he could.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And the shit questions. We didn't get to do them this year, Will. It's a proud Triple M tradition, the shit questions.
It's our best bit of content all year, every year.
It is. And just unfortunately, another COVID, another thing gone to the wayside due to COVID.
Can we sign you up for the 2021 Brownlow? Are you,
if
are contract negotiations?
If there's a red carpet and it's in
Melbourne
and some confused wags that aren't expecting. I watched that one the other day where I asked Bryce Gibbs' missus. Who's going to be top North Melbourne's count? I really feel bad about that.
My favourite one is still when we asked Tom Mitchell if he was happy with his energy provider.
It was the year he won. Yeah.
And he knew he'd done every single piece of media, including remember the Channel 31 guys were next to us?
And
he'd done literally all of them and he got to us and he's obviously got six questions worth of material in his head. You know, just here for the night.
It was just
if it goes my way, I'll be happy. And then we go, are you happy with your energy provider? And he's blew him away.
Rattled him.
turns to his missus and goes, I don't know.
It's like his head was just going footy's a real winner. Michelle's playing the grand final. Team performance. He just couldn't find the... God, that was funny.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this up, boys, because I've got a lot of fretting and drinking coffee and staring at the wall and shaking to do. Before we go, some three-word reviews on the last couple of teams in it. Brizzy, I was going to just go with 1 year early.
Yeah. Mm. I was going to say won a final, which I think was a big tick. We're getting there.
Next year's it is what I was going to go with.
Yeah.
Get Danaher in. You've got 2 years of finals under your belt. You've played in a prelim. Like, next year's the year to really make the most of it.
Yeah, that's the next step, isn't it? Playing with genuine hype. Because I feel like everyone, it was a surprise last year. This year, everyone was like, oh, they're doing well again. Good on them. But now
well,
it's
the straight sets last year made it like difficult this year, but then you've got the, you've won a final. You know, you still made it, like, as much as the, it was a 40-point margin, they were still relatively competitive in that prelim final for kind of three quarters.
Yeah.
So next year's it for me.
I like it.
Fair enough. And Port Adelaide, has anyone got three words for them?
Yeah. Is overachieved a word? Because I think I was going to say overachieved, but rising. You know, I think I don't think they were the best team this year, as the latter suggests. But
fair enough.
Like Brisbane, they've got a lot of kids. A lot of quality kids, and you can tell, you know, pretty early on if you're going to get 200 games out of someone. And, I think that'll be a threat again. Charlie Dixon, I didn't know he had that footy in him this year.
That was good. My three-word review was just going to be Big Chuck Wagon. Yeah. So much fun.
Chuck Wagon.
We didn't even talk about that prelim.
No.
Really. But Xavier Dersma.
Yeah.
Xavier Dersma, like, I know he dropped that chess mark. It could have really changed the game up for him. But how much fun is he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, when gets he right that in Lynch's grill after getting a goal.
When he kicked the goal and did the bow and arrow, that was awesome.
Gets spoken about that draft haul of Rosie Butters and Dersma, but they're all Jets. Like,
they've nailed it.
And they're so entertaining. How good was Rosie? Oh.
Yeah.
Incredible.
He's incredible, and they're gonna have, like, they'll have says. These blokes are gonna, you know, they'll be playing finals all the time. And then we should probably touch on Richmond too, because we didn't really talk about him, but they were just so professional.
No, we don't have to.
How about Toby Nankervis just all of a sudden being 2009 Harry Taylor, like, just chopping
turned into Brian Lake for the last 5 minutes. It's
just
a shame.
Kick it to him.
Yeah, I tend to like a wet final, but I don't know. I feel like it dulled the spectacle a little bit for me.
I did like that every goal meant something.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wet finals are great because it's
high, you got to take your opportunities.
Yeah, high stakes wet footy is awesome to watch. But I don't know. I think it definitely hurt Port, I reckon.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Kane Lambert's two goals in the wet were pretty cool.
Yeah, good on him.
Like, in the last quarter. I mean, you can debate the how good the deliberate call was for the second one.
But I didn't mind it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it either.
You know, like, I was angry about it. But then when I watched the replay, I was like, fair enough.
It was there.
Yeah, it was there. But the execution to finish those two goals, just
all class.
That's what Richmond, they just have blokes that stand up. It's like, you know, like Dusty and Cochin and Lynch and Rewalt weren't having massive nights. So who stands up for them? Toby Nankervis, Kane Lambert.
Yeah,
the next sign of a good side. Yeah. it's the sign of a good side. They're good. It's going to be such a good grand final. Did you have a three-word review for Port, Beersy?
Nothing major. Just Koshy loves Ken.
Yeah.
back in the good books.
It's another coach that was on the cusp of a sacking who delivered. I just don't understand these clubs that sack coaches after 5 or 6 years.
I think it's a big year for Port next year, though, because they've been notoriously kind of inconsistent like this, where they have a good year, make the top four, everyone thinks they're grouse, and then, like, think back a few years back when Wingard was kind of like Rosie, you know, like that kind of, they go, how good's Wingard going to be? How good's this next crop?
Yeah.
And they don't really come on. So I think next year is quite important for Port to actually back it up. And, like, Dixon, is this a one-off year for him, or can he piece it together and play another one? And can they, like, Ollie Wines looks like he's going to stay after, his name seems to come up every offseason, but if they can keep that group together, then they really don't have any excuses to go backwards. So big year for them, I think.
Yeah,
huge. Before we go, Will, flag winner, Norm Smith.
I was going to say we should tip. I want with everything I have for Geelong to win, but I think it's going to be Richmond, unfortunately. I just think they're too professional. And I'll go with Shane Edwards. We had him on the Hot Brekkie this morning, and he is one of the most delightful humans I've ever ever heard in my life.
Class operator. Oh. All class, Shane Edwards.
And
I adore him.
And, yeah, very good footballer.
Mm.
I'll go with the Cats. I just can't tip Richmond. Like, I just don't want to. I just really want to. I think the Tigers will win, but I really just don't want to barrack for them.
Do you think I enjoyed tipping them? I don't want them to win.
I can't even go that far to tip them. So I'm going to go the Cats, and I think I don't mind Sam Menengola for this. I might be slightly invested in this one. Yeah, with the wagering.
Punts bet.
Yeah, he's had a great year this year, and I think he's just got that ability to kind of get off the chain a little bit. And I think all the attention's obviously going to go to Danger, and their midfield's run so deep, so Menengola might be able to get off the chain, kick a couple of goals, and be the difference. So he's my kind of smoky, I guess.
For me, it's like Richmond have had the Cats on a chain for a couple of years now. It's hard to go past them, but I'm going to tip us because I've heard Joey Montagna say this a couple of times on Triple M. There's a sense of destiny about the Cats, and it kind of feels like that. I also think that Patrick Dangerfield will win the Norm Smith. He pretty much has to if the Cats are going to win. I also think that unless we get like GWS style wiped, I think he'll win the Norm Smith even if Richmond win.
Wow.
Because
that's a big
call. Okay.
I can see him getting third in kicking three.
I just can't see how he's not going to have, like, it's grand final day. He's like, he's built for this stage. He knows it. We know it. And I just think that he's like, you know, his life has been building to this moment, and he's, you know, like such an incredible footy player. I think he's just going to do a Nathan Buckley in his first grand final and just
and steal it off the best player.
My worry for Danger is that
hashtag
you know how
justice for boss. That's
you know how the start of every grand final is usually just a mad scramble and there's no clean possession and all that. Danger's first five possessions in every game are like that anyway. I feel like it's quite important that he just doesn't panic and butcher it and really kind of, because his best 5 minutes or 10 minutes can get Geelong off to an absolute flyer. Like, if he panics and starts bombing them out on the full and, you know, that kind of like we've seen him do before, he just kind of needs to keep his head a little bit. And if he does that, then that really sets the Cats up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely can be guilty of trying too hard in big games, it's fair to say.
Yeah.
But that's that out of the way. I think we'll probably come back for a grand final wrap up. We definitely will if the Cats win. So yeah,
we might come back for a few off season
tradie boys. Yeah,
tradie boys.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
For sure. So yeah, that's been us for most of the footy season. You can catch us at Triple M Footy everywhere. All of our socials is at Triple M Footy. So stick across that. I've been a very, very nervous Cats fan, Rudy Edsel, been joined by Will Ralston.
Best of luck, Rudy. I'll be back in the min.
And Tommy Beers.
Thanks, boys. Go the Cats.
See you next time.